And today, if you're in here and you don't know Him as Savior, He wants to come to you today too. Today could be your day of salvation. Esther chapter number 3 is where we'll be turning today. Esther chapter number 3. 2020 was a crazy year. 2021 was a crazy year. And 2022 is opening with me preaching on Sunday morning. So, not a good sign for things to come. We're in a crazy year, and we've got the evidence to prove it right here in front of us. You know, it is a crazy world. We are in a crazy time. And when we open to Esther chapter 3, we find probably what would be an even crazier time. We arrive here, we find that Esther, Mordecai, and the Jewish people are in a terrible situation. In Esther 3, early, Haman, in a fit of rage, decided that he was going to find a way to murder all Jews nationwide. It's estimated at this point that there were over 15 million Jews in the kingdom at this point, and things are absolutely insane. So let's look at verse 13 and see where we find them. The Bible says, "And letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey." So what would happen is the Jews could be murdered, then all their possessions would be taken if you were the person who had murdered them. Let's continue reading. "The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, and being hastened by the king's commandment, the decrees was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed." Things were going terrible. The Jews were about to be murdered. Everything seemed absolutely horrible. But God had put a young woman by the name of Esther on the seat of the queen. She was sitting on the throne, and her cousin who raised her by the name of Mordecai came to her in verse 14 of chapter 4 and said, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai tells Esther, "Esther, the world is crazy. Esther, things are going the wrong direction. But Esther, you are where you are because God has placed you here and you can make a difference." Several years ago, the FBI released a new strategy for situations of danger or active shooter situations. They called that situation run, hide, fight. They say the right thing to do if you find yourself in a dangerous situation, first off, is to run. If you can run, if it's safe to run, run and get out of that situation. If it's not safe to run, you need to hide. But if you cannot safely run and you cannot safely hide, they say that the right thing to do is to, with everything you've got, fight. That's exactly where Esther finds herself. And Christian, I believe today that is where we find ourselves. It is not time to run. It is not time to hide. Right now, it is time to fight. Let's look at this passage and see what God's got for us today. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love for us. Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2001, there was a man by the name of Todd Beamer. You're probably familiar with the name. He was 32 years old. He was heading to a business meeting in San Francisco, and he got on a United Airlines flight at Newark Airport, Newark, New Jersey. It was September 11th, 2001. He was set to fly back later that evening. He had a wife, Lisa, two sons at home, and his wife was expecting a baby. He was working for a computer company selling software, and 46 minutes after their flight took off, terrorists announced on the loudspeakers, "We have a bomb on board, so sit." The destination at that point was changed from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. Some of the passengers were able to call their family and find out exactly what was going on that morning as they learned of the tragedies that were occurring around the nation. And Mr. Beamer called the air traffic controller, and he began to talk to them and began to try to work through the situation of what was going on there. She could hear as he began to gather passengers around him. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he led them in the Lord's Prayer, and then he led them in the 23rd Psalm, and they began to recite Scripture together. But then she heard those famous last words that Mr. Beamer is known for. He said, "Everybody ready? All right, let's roll." At that point, he gathered those passengers around him. They were able to take over the cockpit and save whatever the target in Washington, D.C. was from destruction. It's important for us to understand that there are times where we've got to take a stand. There are times where we've got to do the right thing. There are times where we've got to make the hard call for what's right. And that's exactly where we find Esther in this passage. And that's exactly where we find ourselves right now. The first thing we see in this passage today is the problem. The problem. Look at chapter 4 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate. For none of them might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." At this point, Mordecai realizes we're in a mess. We've got a problem on our hands. There is a struggle that's coming. We find that he rents or tears his clothes. He puts sackcloth, which would be a very coarse black material and would cause discomfort to the skin, on. He pours ashes on his head as a sign of humility. And there's weeping and wailing throughout the nation. Up until chapter 3, he had hid who he was. He had hid his Jewish faith. He had told Esther when she was called in before the king, "Esther, do not tell anybody what your national origin is. Do not tell anybody that you're a Jew." He's gone from not telling anyone that he's a Jew to now he is very publicly associating with the Jews. He is begging God on their behalf to do something. We find a great change. As I mentioned earlier, there were an estimated 15 million Jews in the kingdom. And we see here in this verse that they were fasting and weeping and wailing. They realized that they were under attack. Do you realize today in America that Christianity is under attack? In 2016, Time Magazine published an article entitled, "Regular Christians Are No Longer Welcome in American Culture." It notes that according to Pew Research reports, the percentage of Americans who describe themselves as religiously affiliated has shrunk majorly in America. They say that the percentage of Americans who are absolutely certain that God exists in a period of just 7 years fell to 63% from 71%. It goes on to say some of the faithful have paid unexpected prices for their beliefs lately. The teacher in New Jersey suspended for giving a student a Bible. The football coach in Washington who was placed on leave for saying a prayer on the field at the end of a game. The fire marshal in Atlanta who was fired for self-publishing a book defending Christian moral teaching. The Marine who was court-martialed for pasting a Bible verse above her desk. And other examples of new intolerance. Anti-Christian activists will throw terms like bigot and hater at Christians who hold traditional beliefs about marriage and accuse anti-abortion Christians of waging a supposed war on women. And we've got to understand today that we are at war. But the enemy's not who we think it is. Hey, we can look to the White House or we can look to Washington, D.C. and think we see an enemy, but the enemy is not there. We can look at people who would attack our faith and attack our values and think those people are the enemy, but those people are not the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." People are not the enemy. People who would seek to do harm to the cause of Christianity are not our enemy. People who hate our Bible are not the enemy. But against principalities, it says. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whether you realize it or not, war has been declared on you, but the enemy is not fellow mankind, the enemy is the devil. He's just using people. The world hates us. The world has always hated us. And that is where we find ourselves in this text, and that is where we find ourselves in this world. So what does Esther do? Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. They tell her that Mordecai is down in sackcloth and ashes and weeping and wailing. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved and sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away the sackcloth from him. She doesn't know what's going on. She just knows that she doesn't want him down there making a fool of himself. But he received it not. Then called Esther to Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains whom he had appointed to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city and was before the king's gate. So she hears about Mordecai, and instead of finding out what's wrong, she sends him clothes to change into. You know, isn't that just like the way that the world tries to accomplish things? They are sorrowful, they do not know why, and they try to cover it. They try to cover their hopelessness with relationships, but they find that there's still no hope. They try to fill their life with drugs to make themselves feel better, and alcohol, but they find that the drugs and alcohol only compound their problems. They try to get their mind off what's going on with music, but they find that it only drags them lower. They try to cover it with more stuff, but they find themselves emptier the more stuff they have. They try religion, but they find that religion, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, puts them just as far away from God. Man's attempts to cover his own issues and real issues are just like Adam and Eve as they're in the garden and they try to cover themselves with fig leaves. Anything that we do to try to bring hope apart from Jesus Christ is absolutely empty and will bring you nothing. She tries to cover them. She tries to cover Mordecai with clothes, but clothes are not his problem. The condition of his nation is the problem. He tells Esther how all the Jews in the kingdom will be killed and how her husband, the king, has given the approval. She has no idea. I'm shocked to think that the queen wouldn't know, but when we look, she doesn't know. Look at verse 10. And Esther spake unto Hatach and gave a commandment to Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces, to know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king and to the inner court, who is not called, there's one law of his to be put to death, except such to whom the king hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. 30 days. She's not seen her own husband in 30 days. He's made this decree. She has no idea about it. All these things are going on and she has absolutely no idea. But then there's the fear. There's a problem that's at hand, is that she knows that if she goes in and he doesn't put up the golden scepter, she's dead. You say, oh no, the king would never do that to the queen. Well, we're not going to turn there, but in Esther chapter 1, the king told the queen to do something. She did not do it, and he very quickly disposed of her. That very well could happen to Esther at this point. He's not a nice guy. Did you know that taking a stand may cost you? Did you know that sharing the gospel in your workplace may cost you? Did you know that standing for godly Christian values may cost you? Share the gospel. Take your stand. Be the person that God has called you to be. Can I tell you today, you can run, you can hide, or you can fight, but it's important to understand today that you must fight. Hey, your popularity may take a hit. Your friendships may struggle. Your relationships may be on the line, but it's important to understand that God has a purpose for you and that God has a plan for you, and it's time to begin to live as the person that God has put you on this earth to be. There's a problem, but then we see a promise. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Then Mordecai commanded, answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise unto the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai knew something that Esther had forgotten. Although they had been living away from God and out of the nation of Israel, God had not forgotten them. And can I tell you today that it may be that you're far away from God. It may be that you've not been living the life that you should live. It may be that your decisions have not been very good. But can I tell you today, God has not forgotten you. And God will not leave you and God will not forsake you. And I'm thankful today that I messed up and I failed God. But God has never once failed me and God will never fail you. We've got a God who takes care of us time after time after time. They had forgotten God, but God had not forgotten them, and God had given them a promise. In Genesis chapter 12, God had made a promise to Abraham, the father of this Jewish nation, when he said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." God had promised Abraham that his descendants, the nation of Israel, would be a blessing and they would continue. But the devil didn't like that. The devil did everything he could to stop that. And here we have another attempt to stop that, because the devil knows what the blessing is. The blessing is that through the Jewish people, the Messiah would come. The Savior of the world would come. And Satan is doing everything he can do to destroy the Jewish people so that the Savior never comes. Good news is, we know who wins in the end. We may not be Jewish people, though. We may not have the promise of Genesis chapter 12 that we would be perpetually protected. But we do have another promise for those who would share the gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." He's with us. He wants you to accomplish His will, and He's with you as you do. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hey, that tells us the gates of hell are there, and it's our job to attack the gates of hell. It's our job to charge hell with everything we've got. It's our job to take a stand, to be real, to be the person that God's called us to be. And no matter what comes our way, it's our job to keep fighting and be the person that God saved us to be. God wants us to reach the world. God wants you to reach the world. In 2022, what will you do? Will you run? Will you hide? Will you fight, knowing that God is with you? We see not only a problem and a promise, but then we see providence. I'm thankful when providence comes on the scene. I'm thankful for the unseen hand of God that guides in our lives. Look at the rest of verse 14. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther, God put you in the palace for this time. That the verse is actually really interesting because what he says is, hey, God is going to deliver the Jewish people with you or without you, so Esther, get on board. Hey, God's work is going to go forward with you or without you, so why not get in on the blessings? I'm thankful for the times that God has blessed me. I'm thankful for the times that I didn't want to do something and I did it anyway because it was God's will and God blessed. And I beg of you this year, don't hold back from God's will. Don't stop being the person God put you on this earth to be. Take a stand. Be who He wants you to be. Can you imagine your Esther? And the entire weight of this thing falls on your shoulders. But know that it did not entirely fall on her shoulders. Because God was in charge, and God was working things out according to His plans. And the same God that worked in Esther's life is the God that works in your life today. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times from things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God has a will and a purpose for your life. It will, His purposes will go forward, and it's important that you jump on board and be who God wants you to be. You say, "I'm not really that important. I'm not really that smart." Welcome aboard. But I'm thankful today that God uses the obscure. God uses people who are unimportant. Imagine relying on a hiding shepherd by the name of Gideon and calling him a man of valor, using him to save a nation. I wouldn't do that, but God did. Imagine relying on a slave by the name of Joseph who's been locked away and forgotten. I don't know that I could use him to save a nation, but God did. Imagine relying on a shepherd boy whose own dad has forgotten him. I don't know that I could use him to be a king, but God did. Imagine relying on a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. I don't know that I'd do that, but God did. And can you imagine relying on a little orphan girl by the name of Hadassah, who's been forgotten and seems like a throwaway, to be the queen and to save the nation? I don't know that I would, but God did. And can I tell you today that when I look in the mirror, I don't see much. When you look in the mirror, you may not see much. But it's not about your intellect, and it's not about your ability, and it's not about your talent. It's about your availability. Are you willing to be used by God? Here's the question. It's not are you big enough or smart enough or talented enough. It's are you small enough to be used by God? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God hath chosen the, base things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen. Esther had a lesson to learn that we need to learn. Yeah. Esther, you might be the queen, but it's not about you. And can I tell you today, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Will you step up and be the person that God wants you to be? Are you open to the will of God in your life? You may be in here and you may be a teenager. You may be in here and you're 90 years old. But God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. One author said, we should be asking, what work has God especially for me to do in this time because He has allowed me to be alive at this particular time? Hey, we look at the news and we say, what in the world? What a crazy time. You look in the pulpit this morning and say, what a crazy time. But here's the reality. God's put you on earth for this very time. Did you know that 2020 and 2021 and 2022 didn't catch God by surprise? Hey, we didn't know what was going on, but God did. And God has left you on this earth for right now because there is something that He wants to accomplish in your life and through your life. What is it? Who is that person at your workplace that needs to be reached? Who is that family member that needs to be loved on? What is that thing that you need to accomplish? Can I suggest today that you find it and get with it? Well, it's not time to run or hide. It's time to fight. Amen. What is it you know you need to do? James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Proverbs 3, verses 25 to 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. It is important today that you understand that God has put you here for such a time as this, and understand that God should be your confidence, and God is my shield, and God is my fortress, and God is my buckler, and nobody can do anything to me outside of the will of God. God's got a plan for you. You're going to get with God's plan, or are you going to keep doing things your way? But then we see the prayer. Look at verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. So they've been going back and forth, and Esther finally has her answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And what does she say next? I love it. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. The author says this verse tells us what she did not trust in. We know that Esther was a beautiful woman based on the fact that she had been chosen to be the queen. But she did not put her confidence in her beauty. She didn't put her confidence in her position. She didn't put her confidence in her eloquence or anything else. The mention of fasting indicates where Esther placed her trust, and she was wholly putting herself on the altar, sacrificing to God, saying, God, whatever it is you want me to accomplish, God, that's what I'll accomplish. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. You say, I'm inadequate to do the thing that God put me on this earth to do. So am I. You say, I have no ability, I have no talent. It is not about your talents. It is not about your ability. It is by His might and by His power and by His strength that we'll accomplish the thing that God gave us to do. Will you do it? Edmund Burke said all that's required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Will you stand? Will you be who God wants you to be? Will you fight? Will you take the job seriously that He's given you? On Tuesday evening in 1925, Gladys Allward had her soul stirred for the sake of missions by a young man that she heard preach in England. She became burdened by China, but didn't know anybody to reach the people of China. But she insisted that somebody has got to go to China. She decided to contact every important person she knew and ask them to try to help reach the people of China. Her biography says that she approached doctors and clergymen, bank managers and solicitors. She wrote to the wealthy and influential people who she knew slightly or whom she had met in the course of her work. Person after person after person turned her down. Finally, she reached out to her brother Lawrence and she said, somebody has got to reach the people of China. Lawrence said to her, if you're so keen, why don't you go yourself? After trying to convince every person that she knew of the need for missionaries in China, but seeing nobody willing to respond, she finally realized that she was the somebody that God wanted, and she went to China and saw God work in a great way. What is it today that you realize that somebody needs to do? Who is it that you're praying that somebody will reach? Where is it that you're praying somebody will go? Could it be today that you're the somebody that God wants to use? Can you imagine being the nobody that became the somebody that was sitting on the throne of Persia? You say, I'm not a spiritual giant. Esther didn't start off as one. We know that throughout the first several chapters of the book, she hid who she was. Nobody knew she was a little Jewish girl. But now, in verse 16, we see her response. If I perish, I perish. You may choose to serve God, and it may cost you everything, but if it does, at least you fought for the sake of Christ. Amen. They said, Daniel, do not pray. Daniel said, I will pray. And he went in and he prayed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to the false god. The king is trying to get them bowed. He says, if you do not bow, I will have to throw you into the fiery furnace. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That should be our attitude. But they go a step further. They say, our God can deliver us, but the next words are amazing. They say, but if not. What happens if God doesn't deliver us from the fiery furnace? What happens if God doesn't deliver us from the hand of the king? Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up for us. And what happens? The music begins to play. Everybody bows down except three men. They're thrown into the fiery furnace, and God is with them. Can I tell you today, God will be with you. And you may not, it may not turn out the way you want. It may not turn out the way you like. But can I encourage you? Take a stand for the cause of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Yeah. Esther was ready to go into the presence of the king because she had prayed. She was ready to accomplish God's will for her life. We know that she did go into the presence of the king. We know that the Jewish people were saved. We know the golden scepter was held out. And it all happened because God had put one little insignificant orphan girl in the place that He wanted her at the right time. And God's will was accomplished. She did not run. She did not hide. She fought. Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to fight? What is it that God wants you to accomplish? Who does God want you to reach? Where does God need you to take a stand? It's important to understand, as I said earlier, God's will go forward. But will it be with you or will it be without you? It's time to fight. Let's pray.